Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Boy, we love Original Joe's. Our dinner is coming up there. Adam, you're coming to the dinner, right?
I'll be there. What are we doing? Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
I'll be there.
6 o'clock in North Beach, and it's a wonderful dinner. And you never go away hungry at Original Joe's. And I'll tell you, a guy who never goes away hungry is our Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well today. Well, the lineup is out, and I must tell you, I mean, I'm looking at it and hitting in, what, the 7 or 8 spot today is Yastrzemski. Come on.
Yeah,
how about that?
Carlton Fisk and Rick Burleson in there, too?
I love it. Come on.
It's
just to see it, just to see the name in the Giants lineup. I'm telling you, it's good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a lamentable occasion with Mac Williamson being DFA'd and maybe not returning to the Giants, but, you know, he sure didn't show really anything, and they've given him a lot of rope, and it just didn't happen at the big league level. But, yeah, to see the new Yaz is pretty exciting. I hope he shows himself well.
Well, 28 years old, again, and we're still in the Altair group and, you know, Mike Gerber and these kind of guys. You know, and they're just trying to find someone who can play the outfield and hit a little bit, and he's the latest one, but he's got a lot of minor league at-bats, and people have seen him for a long time.
Yeah, it's really stunning sometimes the difference between the minors and the bigs. You know, you bring up somebody who's been tearing it up. Hey, Williamson was a good example. And then you get up to the bigs, and you got guys with four, you know, nasty, incredibly different pitches, you know, and or maybe more than that. And you realize, oh, my goodness, you know, I marvel at guys who hit 300 in the bigs today. And for, you know, for Bellinger to be hitting over 400 is just mind-blowing.
Bruce, just an awful game last night, 18-2. You look at a game like that and you assume, okay, there's got to be some sort of obscure record or something strange that happened that's never happened before in an 18-run game. We were able to find it. It was three times in the game Tim LeCastro of the Diamondbacks got hit by a pitch. I don't know if you heard the call, but their broadcaster acted like he'd hit four home runs in the game. So Marty and I did the homework, and we found out in history it's happened numerous times. Like 10, 12 guys have had it happen. But Reed Johnson, Brandon Guyer, and Damian Easley have all been hit by a pitch three times, which is the major league record on more than one occasion they've had it happen.
Yeah, you know, Grant Brisby had an interesting item. Throughout the entire 1980s, that never happened. And also the 1940s. An entire decades went by without anybody getting hit three times in a game. So
they said it couldn't be done, Bruce.
Well, and you know who's on the list is Ron Hunt.
He's on the list, yeah.
Yeah, he's on the list. And I remember talking to someone about Ron Hunt. And now Ron Hunt played second base for the Mets and the Dodgers and the Giants.
And the Giants, yeah.
And he got hit all the time.
Yeah.
And he get hit 50 times, I don't know how many times in the season. But
he
wore a rubber suit under his uniform. He did.
Yeah, he's completely unfazed by almost every time he was hit. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll take the base. No problem, dude.
Another guy, Tito Fuentes, is on the list as one of the guys who's been hit three times.
Oh, that's I have to ask you. Okay, very good.
That's another one.
Is Don Baylor on the list?
Let me run down the list where you guys are going.
Because Don Baylor, remember Frank Robinson? I mean, they would crowd the plate. Don Baylor would dare you to hit him.
Yeah, and had no problem if you did. It wasn't like he's going to charge the mound. It feels like he won that battle.
Yeah, Baylor.
Unless there was something else going on, you know.
Baylor not on the list.
Not on the list.
Not one of them. But when Reed Johnson had it happen, he actually got hit by a ball three times in a game, three times. Two of the times it happened in the same month, like 3 weeks apart from each other.
Yeah, well, I bet Baylor and Frank Robinson and these guys, Ron Hunt, I bet they were hit twice many times in a game.
Oh, yeah. And this guy last night, LeCastro.
Tim LeCastro.
LeCastro,
yeah.
I mean, he's only had 29 major league at-bats, and he's been hit seven times.
He's got bruises all over his body.
I mean, what would Harry Wendelstedt say, You know, Harry Wendelstedt, of course, the famous umpire that did not allow Dick Dietz to go to first base, which would have broken Don Drysdale's consecutive scoreless record. But is this guy getting out of the way? He's hit seven times. Is he trying to get out of the way? I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's That always irritates a pitcher if a guy has no real interest in getting out of the way. He just soon get hit and head down there. But I don't know. We're going to be following this guy for this reason alone. How many times was he hit tonight?
Yeah, there was another one I remember a few years ago. Remember Corky Miller?
Corky Miller.
I don't.
Yeah.
Backup catcher for the Reds. Uh-huh. And I look, you know, of course, those are the days I interviewed everybody in the world.
If you interviewed Corky Miller, you definitely interviewed everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the questions they ask him, and I look it up, he was in like AA or AAA, and he got hit like 60 times. I mean, and I said, how could that happen? And I forget, but that name always comes back to me, Corky
Miller. That's a good one.
Corky Miller, that was the guy.
He's got a big. I'm looking at him here. He's got the Fu Manchu stash going. If you got a name like Corky, you don't really need to have another gambit, right?
He hung around.
You can just go with the name. Yeah,
he hung around for a while.
Yeah, he played in the big leagues for 10 years. Yeah, good.
Oh my
good
God.
Career for Corky
don't know
Miller.
The name.
Yeah.
Hey, you wrote an article this week of getting into the John Smoltz issue of splitting the season. What do you think? You can convince me if you make an argument here. I couldn't be convinced of this.
Well. I'm not a full-on advocate. I just think it's interesting. It's really prompted by the reality of a lot of teams, you know, not really trying to build anything this year. They're basically tanking. They don't mind losing a bunch of games if it means a higher draft pick. And it's an annoying trend that MLB is really focused on. I mentioned in the story that I've got experience with this. I was covering the 1981 A's every day that season for the Chronicle. And, you know, the strike shut down the season, and next thing you know, they divided into halves, and the A's won the first half, and Kansas City won the second, so they played each other, and it was kind of cool. I mean, it was actually one of the greatest moments in the A's history that they swept that series with the Billy Ball and everything else, and they wound up losing to the Yankees, but, you know, that was caused by a strike and, you know, extreme circumstances, but I don't know. Part of it appeals to me. In terms of how you figure out the playoffs, that could be really difficult because you could come down to the last weekend, and maybe the same team is going to win both halves, or be another team sneaks in there, and how do you figure out the wild card? What if, you know, if you have a situation like the Reds or the Cardinals in 81? They both had the best 162 game records, and neither one of them made the playoffs under that setup. So there's a lot of weird stuff about it. I don't mind it in terms of, you know, teams that are completely down and out have a fresh start in the second half. It's radical. It's certainly nothing we're even close to being used to in the bigs, but I think it's worth the discussion, see what comes out of it.
I like having these discussions when we talk realignment and how you'd redo which teams go to the playoffs. I don't know that I could redo an entire season like that. Would you keep season records? I mean, you would total up the number of home runs. You would just count it all as a single season. It's the game where the numbers mean so much to us. I just feel like that you couldn't split it up in that regard.
Oh, they wouldn't split up the stats. No, not at all. I mean, the wins and losses would be different, but you wouldn't say who won the second half batting title.
All right, here's the deal. All right, now I'm digesting what you both said. Baseball needs more teams in the playoffs. There's 30 teams, and they're going to expand probably to 32 at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's only 10 teams in the playoffs, so they need more in the playoffs. So you could have all these strange ways, as Bruce just said, of getting a team in. You could put the team in that has the best overall record. The first half winner, second half winner, wild card. You know, you just make a ton of ways to get teams in. And what baseball needs is people to be interested in it all year long.
Well, that's the thing.
Because the NBA and the NFL, they've got stuff going all year long. Baseball has such droughts of the free agent market. Nothing happens now until January. So before we had 2 months of frenzy of free agent signings and trades. You don't have anything now.
So, go ahead.
So that's my thought. Get more teams in and make it as quirky as you want of getting teams in and to make more interest.
I'd be all for that. You know, just make sure you shorten the schedule, maybe down to 154 games. You don't want this thing leaking into November.
Exactly.
Ideally, you start the playoffs at the last weekend of September, even earlier. But I think that'd be fun. I mean, just imagine, let's say just for some crazy reason, the Giants, after this year's trading deadline, you know, have a different-looking team, and some of the guys they keep catch fire, and And, you know, they start playing really well in the second half. If they started from scratch, it's like, hey, we can win the second half. I guarantee you the attendance would pick up, which they could really use. But, and there's a lot of ballparks around the country that are looking pretty desolate these days. So there's something to be said for it. I'd like to see, you know, what MLB would come up with in terms of exactly how they'd work the playoffs. I wanted to put something in the paper of my idea, but I was certain I'd forget something and look like an idiot. So I didn't go that far.
No, well, you never do.
So but, you want to go like 16 teams, like the NBA goes half the league.
Yeah, or the NHL and the way they do it. And here's the thing. Baseball needs it. You know, baseball's talking about putting a runner on second base in the 10th inning.
Yeah,
baseball's talking about no shifts. Baseball's talking about a computerized strike zone. Baseball's talking about a million changes. But the one thing they don't change is the length of the season and a race that could be over in July.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you don't. And now, if you're trying to attract people who are 20 to 30 years old. Well, when I say Gary Yastrzemski, they don't know what I'm talking about.
You're 100% right. It's not about cutting the game down, I don't think, in the 11th or the 12th inning. It's about if you want to attract a new fan base, you need a philosophical change to how the game is distributed.
Exactly.
And if you're talking about cutting a season in half, that it's a very intriguing way, I think, to gather a new fan base or to get fans to think, well, we don't have to be good from April to October to know that we have a shot to win a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, you know, cutting 10 minutes off game time, that does nothing.
I don't care.
Hey, wait a minute. It's not no longer 3:05. It's 2:55 now. Let's get out there.
Right.
No, it's ridiculous. The other thing is, this idea is in practice. This is done in the minor leagues.
Yes,
it is.
This is
done all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's been so this is not saying, okay, we're going to make the ball green. You know,
which it's might not, attract more. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we're gonna have a base on both sides of first base, so no one steps on their ankle.
You can run to third first,
right.
And then you come back
right.
to first
this,
base.
This has just, been done, and it's been successful. So
yes.
I think the best thing of talking this out, I always find Bruce, the more we talk things out, we actually come up with something. Is that trying to attract a new fan base that is not wedded into Napoleon Lajoie. Or Rogers Hornsby. Seriously.
Or you know, heaven help us all, the Delahanty brothers.
Right. Or, you know, or going back to Solly Hemus or, you know, even George Foster. People don't know what we're talking about.
Who the hell knows the Snuffy Sternweiss? I mean, you know, for heaven's sake.
1947 batting champion.
No, well, there you go.
And he died
in
a train accident. The train went off the rail into the Hudson River.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
He survived, but the train didn't. Wait a minute. It's the other way around. Sorry.
Terrible. Well,
Bruce with the cryptic humor.
Now
today.
You got me started on this. Okay. But Bruce and I, once we start the names, it goes on forever.
It really, almost literally, yeah. We could do that forever. But,
all right.
You're right. I'd love to see MLB people, you know, talk to all the minor league, you know, executives, players, and what they think about how split seasons unfolded, you know, about the excitement, the attendance. Just the whole thing. Anybody get screwed? You know, just to really research it and see if it might be worth talking about.
Yeah, and John Smoltz, you know, he's not afraid to come up with ideas.
I like him, and he doesn't say, well, let's make it three balls for a walk.
Right.
You know, he's got really good ideas. He's got great ideas on pitching and how the overprotection of pitchers hasn't really done anything. But he's not a wild-eyed radical. He's a good voice.
Yeah.
Agreed.
One other thing I wanted to mention, one of our colleagues, Jerry Fraley, passed away, Bruce.
Geez.
And I got to know him. He covered the Rangers when I got to know him. I've had him on the show. And again, with Nick Cafardo going and Marty Noble.
Mm.
And here's another icon of the baseball writers.
Yeah, these are my people. I mean, I covered the game in the late 70s through the 80s and in the early 90s and got to know these national guys because, you know, I was traveling all over the country. And then Fraley was an amazing, a great reporter, very self-effacing. You'd never know that he did anything noteworthy just talking to him because he was just very sarcastic and hilarious and great company. But he was an extremely, extremely solid guy. And it was interesting, Joe Maddon opened his news conference. conference today talking about Fraley. You know, that's going to be happening all around the country, I think. Not so much from the managers, but just people who knew him, who worked with him. You know, the Dallas Morning News, he was proud to work there. He called it, we're still the best sports section in the country, you know, right to the end. And his colleague, Evan Grant, had all of us, you know, he emailed all of us and kept in touch so we could send Jerry, you know, notes as he was nearing the end. And some of the guys, Mark Wicker and Paul Hagan, actually went to Dallas to be with him in the final days. So a special guy, big loss.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad that you could talk about him. As I say, I got to meet him just a few times. And I think he went to St. Louis at one point, didn't he? Then he went back to Texas?
Yeah, and he, you know, he was living out here, I think, for family reasons
that's
for a while.
Right.
He's going, man, I can't tell you what I'd give to live out here permanently. He so loved it out here.
Ah, very good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm working hard on the knee. I'm being very diligent. The rehab's going really well. I'm on schedule, so you know it's a long grind ahead. I'm not exactly getting down in a 3-point stance, but. as I've said, my pole vaulting days are probably over, but it's going well. Thanks for asking.
Bruce, one last thought, and Adam and I touched on this before you came on. What do you tell the fan base? You know, 3 World Series, and now all of a sudden it's just the natural progression of baseball where you've got to redo it. And you have to redo it to a fan base that says, wait a minute, I think we're supposed to win again. We can't have this. How do you explain it?
Well, I think the fans, you know, understand that most fans, you're not going to get a first-place team or a World Series-winning team every year, maybe even ever. It just has to be a good product. They've got the ballpark going for them, and you know, the weather's really been pretty bad for a lot of this stretch. And, you know, the park's sitting there waiting to be filled, and it just needs, you know, the team needs a little boost. Right now, I don't know what to tell them because I don't know what the direction of the team is. You know, guys are coming in and out. Some of the guys who leave or, you know, they make an instant splash like Parr or this kid out there hit a home run immediately. And it's just, it's really depressing. I know that, you know, the clubhouse is, you know, there's a lot of grumbling in there, I think, about all the transition. And I don't think that the team is particularly happy or particularly good. So that it's a tough sell. I mean, and you can't really sell him on Yastrzemski until he becomes a real ball player, you know. You know, guys like Steven Duggar and Suarez and Rodriguez and these kids, you know, they've got futures, but when teams come in and somebody like Vlad Guerrero or Ronald Acuna hits 2 insane bombs into the middle of nowhere, I mean, you just realize the gap that's going on, and the pitching is kind of failing right now. So, I mean, I don't know what you say except, you know, have faith. We're gonna change it around. You're not going to be looking at this team, that's for sure, you know, intact indefinitely and try to wait it out. But, I mean, right now, I mean, you know, they've had slogans like you gotta love these kids or whatever, but you know, the kids that you gotta love were tremendous. They were real big leaguers. So the answer is I don't know. How about that for a definitive answer?
No, I think you have to be patient. I think you said it. You gotta be patient and it's part of the baseball life. It's what happens in a baseball franchise. Mm-hmm. You gotta be patient and you gotta say, okay, we're gonna watch it happen again and by July 31st, Bumgarner's gonna be gone, Will Smith is gonna be gone, there's no doubt in my mind. And I hope you get back 3 or 4 players, maybe 2 outfielders and 2 pitchers who can step in and become, you know, the new young players.
The cornerstones. Yeah.
And that's what you have to wait for that.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, you know, when that happens, what kind of players they really are. I mean, you assume that they're hotshot minor leaguers, but are they ready to come up right now? Do you set them back by bringing them right into the fray because you want to see them so badly, or do you forestall the fans' anticipation by keeping them there the rest of the year, and then we'll see them in the spring? You know, so it's in terms of the fan base, it's really tough. But I think you know it's such a great sport, Marty, I've heard a lot of people say, that's it, I'm done with the game for whatever reason, instant replay or shifts or whatever, but they don't really mean it. And you know, there's nothing like a great day at the ballpark with a great game. And you know, they're so lucky to have that park because you know it won't take much to revive the attendance. And if they get real good, it'll be like old times again.
Yeah, and it will be. There's no question because that's the cycle of baseball.
Yeah.
And it's
going
to happen. Hey, great to talk with you, and we'll chat with you tomorrow morning.
A lot of fun as always. Thanks, guys.
Good. Have a good day. All right, that is the great Bruce Jenkins.